This is Bernd Strom, the Strommer from SoccerSpecific.com. We'd like to welcome today Brett Simon from Stanford University, head soccer coach there. And hey, Brett, we're glad to have you in the boot room today, and welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Great. Hey, let's kick this off with, how about a little background, your life, how you got to this place in your life at Stanford University?
Well, I've kind of worked my way across the country. I grew up in Massachusetts and all the way through high school and played youth soccer, played high school soccer, played college soccer at the University of Massachusetts, and then did an internship through the sports management program and ended up working for Bob Warming at Berry College, a small college in the mountains of North Georgia.
I've heard of it.
It's a great place, and I ended up staying there for 13 years, starting as an intern and gradually wearing a lot of hats, everything from sports information to admissions counselor to eventually teaching and becoming athletic director and head soccer coach. So had a great experience there, and then went back into soccer full-time as an assistant at Creighton University and became the head coach eventually there. And after 8 years at Creighton, was offered the opportunity to come here to Stanford, and took it. And it's been a great challenge, and a lot of fun along the way. So I've been here 4 years now. So really worked my way kind of throughout the United States, and have really found a great place for myself and my family.
Hmm. Hey, you mentioned kind of making your way from the East Coast to the West Coast, and you talked a little bit there about for longevity in different places. Hey, I want to go all the way back to those days in Massachusetts. You listen to sports radio across the country, and most of it is about every other sport other than soccer. What got you fired up about soccer? How did that even come about?
Well, I think I'm so old that sports radio didn't exist. I'm not sure radio existed when I got started, so that wasn't an influence on what I played. But actually, I grew up in a neighborhood where we played all sports all the time, and I guess by nature I was very competitive, and my brothers and I played a lot of all sports, but particularly basketball and eventually soccer, and soccer was becoming a big sport in our little town of Franklin, Massachusetts. We ended up with a soccer coach who was very dedicated to the sport and helped it grow, and a lot of eager volunteers. And parents are in all communities all over the country now. And after high school, I had the opportunity to play in college and grew there in that way. So I don't know that I was influenced by anything other than just pure enjoyment of the sport and what my friends and neighbors like to play.
Huh. Well, that's great. Hey, you were athletic director and coach at Berry. A little bit of the transition from going from being basically king to being an assistant at Creighton. What led to that decision?
I don't know if I ever felt like king as an athletic director at Berry, but it's a beautiful kingdom there. In fact, Berry College is the largest college campus in the country. I think there's over 29,000 acres on that campus, and it's a beautiful place, and we had very good athletic facilities and some terrific teams. But it was a different level in that it was NAIA, and the challenge of trying to go back into the sport full time in Division I rather than teaching or rather than being an administrator was something I wanted to take, and was offered the opportunity to be an assistant at the Division I level, which meant a cut in pay, which meant a little different angle at things, but it gave me a lot more time spending working with individual student athletes and some very talented student athletes, and it kind of reinvigorated me. So it was a very good decision, but it was not an easy one at the time. I really loved my time at Berry College, so taking that balance between the competitive jump versus some of the great relationships and the great place I was at Berry was tough, but eventually I think it was the best decision I could have made.
Hmm. And at Creighton, you had some unbelievable success stepping into the head coaching position and then being able to go to a couple of Final Fours, I believe. Tell us about that experience, and in particular, your recruiting. There's some recruiting classes there that were specifically remarkable in terms of landing players in the MLS and so forth.
Well, I was fortunate. One of the great things about being at Berry College, and at the time being a single guy who had a lot of time to devote to his I got involved in the Olympic development program very heavily in the state of Georgia and in the region, the South region, and was given the opportunity to coach one of the age group teams for the region, and it just happened to be one of the best teams probably of all time in ODP, and some great players, including a National Player of the Year, Johnny Torres, National Player of the Year, Daniel Hernandez, Clint Mathis. The list goes on. Carrie Talley. There were a huge number of great players. Ross Pauley, who was one of the first draft picks in the MLS history.
Uh-huh.
There were just a huge group of Richard Mulrooney, who's played with our national team, and they were all in that group. And so I was very fortunate that I was their coach and got to great coaches are made by great players.
Sure.
I was very lucky to be in the right place at the right time and have some great players. And some of them decided to come to Creighton. So it worked out very well. They had opportunities to go a lot of places, and Creighton is a terrific school with a great soccer tradition and a very good academic reputation, and they took the chance to come over there and help build some great teams. So I would say that I was very fortunate more than anything else to be able to build those teams, and part of it was just working with the different top players in outside areas like Olympic development.
Huh. So you have a great experience there. You have a good run at Creighton, and it leads to Stanford giving you a call. How did that come about, and how has that transition been?
It was kind of ironic in that when we were at Creighton in 1998, we came out for a tournament, and Stanford had a terrific team that year that ended up going to the finals, and we had a pretty good team that made it to the quarterfinals of the NCAA tournament, and we played in Stanford's tournament, and it wasn't the first time I'd ever been on campus, but it was the first time I'd spent the full weekend and looked around, and my wife came with me, and my oldest son, Ben, who at that time was an infant, and my parents came out, and we had a great time here, and we said, boy, of all the places in the world, just about the only place our family would leave Omaha for would be this. And my wife loved it, and my wife works as a nurse practitioner in a children's hospital, she did in Omaha, and so when Bobby Clark, the former coach, resigned to move on to Notre Dame, I came home one day and said, guess who just left Stanford? She said, oh my gosh, not Bobby Clark. And this panic that she may have to leave and our family might have to leave her hometown. And she was a great athlete in Creighton, one of the greatest in history. And her family's there and she grew up there. So we were invited in for an interview, both of us, and during the interview process, we met at lunchtime over a two-day course of interviews for both of us, and she was at the Lucile Packard Children's Hospital, and she came in and said, well, how are things going? I said, well, I think my interviews are going okay, but I really don't know what's going to happen from it. And I said, how did yours go? And she said, well, it went great. They've offered me a job, and I'm going to take it, so you better not mess it up. So thankfully, within maybe a week or so, I also was offered a job, and we committed to coming out here and moved our family and started a new adventure. So that's kind of how the whole thing took place.
Huh, that's quite a ride. That sounds remarkable. Hey, speaking of that ride, you have done probably the number of hours you've spent recruiting players has been astounding. I mean, you probably can't even count up the number of hours. What do you look for in a player? What is it that you're hoping to bring into Stanford? And, that goes from looking at kids who are just little guys to high school students and so forth. What are you kind of hoping to see in a player as you think about recruiting?
Well, I think that players can have a lot of different abilities, and some of them are physical abilities, some of them are technical or skill abilities, some of them are how they read the game, how they see the game, and obviously some of their character strengths. Those are all bits and pieces of what make players, and there's not a magic formula I've found. Some of the best players I've been fortunate enough to coach have had very, very different abilities and strengths. So I think that there's not one prototype of a player, but there are some things we look for. I think they're common to most coaches, and certainly we look for players that are skillful, that feel comfortable on the ball under pressure. Everybody likes to find people who are goal scorers. someone who is both quick and fast and can run all day or repeat those speedy runs is very valuable. But, you know, some people do it through their strength, through their agility, through their jumping ability. There's a lot of different ways to be successful as a soccer athlete, but quickness and speed are always elements that we look for. And then I'd say the other thing is character traits. People who are competitive, who are team-oriented, who show leadership qualities, who can stick to it when times are tough. I mean, those are all elements we look for, but those are harder to see in recruits. Sometimes if somebody is out there and you see a problem with them, that's easy to spot. But who are the special people? It takes a little bit longer to know and a little more research. But all those elements are important, and virtually all of them can be trained to some extent anyway. So that's the good news. If they don't have the full package, there are ways that they can improve in those areas.
Hmm. So a kid from Franklin, Massachusetts, grows up and makes his way all the way across the country. And in that time, you've learned a ton. You talked about being able to teach these traits in some student athletes. Who taught you? How did you become the person you are today? Who influenced you?
I would like to say I'm smart enough to pick up things on my own, but I'm afraid, probably like a lot of people, you grab a little bit here and there as you go and you experience things. Some people can read a book or watch someone else coach and they can imitate it, and I'm sure I have some of that, but the biggest thing for me is experience of 25 years of coaching and doing things the wrong way a lot of the time and learning and being around good people. You know, there are a lot of people who have influenced me. Bob Warming, who was the first head coach that I worked under as a coach, taught me an awful lot, and still I still continue to learn from him. Bob Pearson was the next guy I worked for, also at Berry College, who has a tremendous attitude and ability to teach and work with people, and looks at himself as a teacher more than a coach. And I think when you think of yourself, those two things synonymously, that is a great help. So he was a great influence. My high school coach was the person who got me really influenced to pursue the sport. There's probably dozens. There's dozens of people, and I would feel bad about leaving people out. But even, you know, the people in our own conference, people I compete against, I watch what they do. Coaches from other sports. Huh. When I was at Creighton, I would watch the basketball coaches run their sessions sometimes and try to learn from them. So I think there's a great deal to learn from other people, but to tell you the truth, most of the time I've learned it the hard way by trying things, some that worked and some that didn't.
Huh. Hey, speaking of learning from other people and kind of learning through mistakes, obviously soccer in America has just really come to life. And obviously the rest of the world has been in love with the sport for a long, long time. You've had an opportunity to travel to some different places, you know, overseas and across the globe. What kind of has been a highlight of those travels?
Well, I think whenever you go into another country, the passion for the sport reinvigorates you. So I can think of many trips to Europe, particularly to France and Holland. Taking our college team to Costa Rica was a great adventure. But I think more than anything, whenever you're around people from another culture who have such a deep love for this sport, it makes you appreciate how lucky we are in our country to have this sport and have so many sport choices.
Yeah.
And let you know how somebody feels about, in our country, maybe about baseball. Hmm. And the passion that they have for that sport, you know, or other sports. So I think the same thing comes true in soccer. When you go to another country, what you learn first and foremost is that people are passionate about their great players, their great teams, and their sport. So that's what the experience is all about.
Hey, not to hurt anybody's feelings, but you bring up the point of having a passion for one great player. Who jumps out from the players that you have coached over your 25 years as the one that you would just coach for 25 years? You know, you wish they had never moved on. Can you pick that guy?
No, I can't.
Come on.
No, I can't do that because really there are so many terrific players, and the thing is, as you go along in coaching, what you really appreciate about those players is what they have become personally.
Huh.
I have a number of guys who have played here and played at Creighton who happen to have ended up living here, going to graduate school here. Some have played for the Earthquakes and still do. And to have those players over the house, to have over dinner, to hang out with my kids, I mean, that's what makes them special in my mind. And though I'm sure they'd all love to be considered my favorite player, I think realistically, every one of them has brought so much to my life that I will never put one out over the rest. Just like you wouldn't put your player and your present team over the rest of your team. The teammates all have some kind of equal status in your heart.
You're really good, Brett. That's awesome. Hey, I have another question for you. So you're not going to pick out a player for me. What would a player of yours, present and past, say about you? What would stand out from them about a great quality about yourself? What would they say about you?
I don't know. I think it's probably evolved over time because I've evolved as a coach and as a person. When I was a single guy at Berry College and on the field all day long competing and training with the players and playing against the players and with them, that's probably a different direction than I am now. Where I have my own family, and they might consider me in a little different light. I think ultimately, in the end, I'd like to be considered an educator, like some of the coaches I've worked under and followed, and have great success, but doing it in the right way, in a way that helps our players grow and become educated and become more knowledgeable about the world and really have a great fostering of team camaraderie. But I think ultimately they'll have to make that decision, so we'll leave it up to them, whatever they think.
Okay. Hey, a little bit of a curveball. So if a player doesn't, we're not quite sure what a player might say of you other than you're an educator and that you have a real passion for teaching the game and teaching life. How about your kids? You've talked about a wonderful wife and you have a couple of kids. What would your kids be able to say about you?
Dad likes to play with the kids. I have a 7-year-old boy and a 4-year-old boy. Love to play and just love to play all sports, especially soccer. They're both left footers.
Always a bonus.
Yeah, could be. I think my boys would probably, they like to wrestle me and like to play sports with me, and I like to do the same with them. So that's probably our biggest common bond. We enjoy being with each other.
That's great. Hey, as we wrap this up, Brett, is there anything you'd like to just add, just kind of in closing?
No, I think that I'm very fortunate to be in the profession I'm in and to work at a great university, and especially fortunate that I have I've had the opportunity to work with so many talented people over the years, and hope that will continue here at Stanford.
Well, speaking of fortunate, I am Bernd Strom, the Strommer from SoccerSpecific.com, saying I am fortunate to be here in the boot room with Brett Simon of Stanford University. Thanks so much for being with us, Brett, and we'll look forward to another interview sometime down the line. Bye-bye.
Thank you.